A practice requires a lot of letting go. And we like to think that it involves letting go of things that we don't like and holding on, but we're allowed to hold on to things that we do like. But actually, it requires a lot more letting go than that. Several years back, I was giving a day-long discussion on the Four Noble Truths. We got to the third noble truth, the cessation of suffering. There were descriptions of nirvana. And the general consensus in the group was they didn't like the sound of it. It seemed too alien, too foreign to be really appealing. Then they got to the fourth noble truth, and we started talking about right concentration. That sounded appealing. Rapture, pleasure. Those are the things that sounded that you really could get your mind around and seemed appealing. And the Buddhist technique in teaching us to let go ultimately is to give us better and better things to hold on to. And then when he's got us cornered like that, we've let go of all these other things. For example, you can hold on to states of good concentration. You turn around, you look at the normal things that would get you, that would incite your lust, incite your anger, incite desire or passion. And you realize that they're not worth it. I'd much rather hold on to that stillness, the state of satisfaction, the state of well-being that comes in with your concentration. Okay, only when he has you cornered like that, then does he have you start thinking about the drawbacks. Not only the things that you've already left behind, but the drawbacks of concentration. It's only then when you see their drawbacks and you realize the only alternative is the deathless. The only thing that would really appeal to you at that point is the deathless. That's when the door opens. There's a contemplation of the drawbacks of anything that's fabricated. And then they say the next step is to incline the mind to the deathless. Normally the mind will not incline to the deathless unless it feels that that's the only out. Otherwise, it's always going to find some other place to go. So it's important you remember that the teachings on, say, the three characteristics, inconstancy, stress, and not self, are not things simply to talk about. They're not simply theories. The whole point of the Buddhist teachings is as part of a course of training. And the different teachings make sense in particular stages. We'd like to jump through the concentration or get to discernment or leapfrog over the concentration and get straight to discernment because we're very busy people. We have a lot to do in our lives. Get to the main point and then we can go on to something else. But that's not how it works. You have to put your mind in particular states. You have to get attached to particular states before the teachings really make sense, or they really function in the way they're supposed to. You think about inconstancy, stress, and not self, of things that you're not attached to, and it doesn't really make a big difference. It's only when you're really looking for a way out that you're going to take the way out. Years back, I was flying on an airplane, and they showed the movie Close Encounters of a Third Kind. I didn't have the sound to go on, but it was pretty easy to figure out the story. This one guy had a miserable life with his family, and so when the opportunity came to step onto that flying saucer and go off who knows where, he was willing to go. Now, if he'd had a happy family life and a satisfactory family life, he wouldn't go. He'd be happy to stay home. And the prospect of going off with these weird creatures from outer space would have been too daunting. But it was the fact that his life was miserable, he was willing to take the leap. In that case, the leap was pretty strange. And the Buddha doesn't ask us to be miserable, but he does teach us in another way, to get us attached to more and more refined states of well-being in the mind. It's like we're climbing a ladder. You let go of lower attachments, only when you've got something higher to hold on to. Same with it, when if you're going to let go of one rung of the ladder, you already have to be holding on to another higher rung so that you can climb higher and higher. And then finally, when there's no place else to go, when the ladder runs out, that's when you get off onto the roof or wherever you're headed. That's where you can really let go. But in the meantime, you've got to hold on. So when you're practicing concentration, don't be afraid of being attached to it. It's important that you're attached there. That's part of the whole dynamic of the process, of the practice. Allow yourself to be attached to the breath. Get to play with the breath. Make the breath really comfortable, a good place to stay. And as it gets more and more refined, you find that the mind goes through more refined stages. The two help each other along. The greater the refinement of the mind, the more refined the breath, vice versa, back and forth like this. And you find that your concentration does go through clearly discernible levels. But again, don't be afraid of getting attached to them. The whole point is to want to be there, to want to develop that mastery that comes with getting the mind to that point whenever you need it to get there. And John Fuller once said, you have to be crazy about the meditation in order to really be good at the meditation. In other words, in the course of the day, every spare minute you find where you can keep your mind on the breath, you want your mind to head there. It's almost as if you were addicted to it. They say that when alcoholics go into a house, one of the first things they want to know is where the alcohol is. They're very conscious of that. They quickly pick up on the signs. Well, you want to be a breathaholic. Wherever there's breath, you want your mind to head there. And of course, you find that it's everywhere. If you're really interested in it, want to pursue it. Again, it doesn't matter that you're attached here. There are ways of ultimately prying you loose from that attachment. And in the meantime, you've got a good place to be attached. States of concentration. States of well-being in the mind that don't have to depend on circumstances outside. That's a lot better than being attached to the sights and the sounds and the smells and the tastes and the tactile sensations that we're normally attached to, or to the ideas we're normally attached to. So allow yourself to cling here. It's like those cages where they put birds. If you happen to open the door to the cage where the bird is clinging to the door, the bird can get out. And that's what these states of concentration are. They're called doors to the deathless. If you hang on here, the door will open eventually and you'll be free. But if you're not here, hanging on to the other walls and the door is open, it's very easy for the person opening the cage to keep you in. Clinging to the walls doesn't get you free. In other words, you may think that you'd like to put an end to all your suffering, but if you're not really in the right place, it's not a door. You keep banging your head against the walls of the cage. But if you learn to hold on to these states of concentration, the time will come when they turn in the doors. You get a sense of dispassion not only for ordinary pleasures, but ultimately even for the pleasure of the concentration. You begin to see that no matter how good you are at the concentration, it will always be changing, always be inconstant. And there comes a point where the mind is just fed up with that. It's had enough. And that's when it can really incline itself to the deathless. The word they use in Pali is nibbida, disenchantment. You're no longer enchanted with the concentration. You use it, but it doesn't have the same pull that it had before. You want something better. As I told the people in that course, the third noble truth may not sound attractive now, but when you get into the fourth noble truth and you develop these states of concentration, then you realize that the third noble truth really is something better. may not sound better in words, but you see that that's the direction where true happiness is tending. Because ultimately the mind will lean there, will incline itself there. Because it's at that point that it's in a state to appreciate it for what it is. So if we want to know what the Buddha was talking about, to see if it really is something better than what we're experiencing now, this is what we work at, these stages of concentration, directing the mind to the breath, evaluating the breath. Really coming to appreciate what it is means to be settled down, to find the sense of well-being that comes from stillness and not chasing after. Things that keep running away from us through our senses. Come to appreciate this sense of stillness that you can gain with the breath. And when you appreciate this, that'll put you in a position to appreciate things that are even better. So that when you incline to something better, you find that you're actually right at the door.